Well, like the other speakers, can I thank you for the invitation to be here. It's quite a thrill, actually. I've never set foot in this building before. I'm going to try and complement what's been said. A few more facts and figures and a health warning that there are areas that I look after, for instance, the Research Council's Technology Strategy Board, which are UK-wide, and there are obviously devolved aspects in schools and higher education, but I will try and make clear what data is what, but try and locate some of this with a few more facts and figures against a more general background, and then look perhaps at some of the wider things we try and do in that whole world of science, engineering, the rest, in a public space, and try and link that with some of the things that we've been talking about. I should say, from a professional point of view, I have oversight of policy and budgets for English universities, UK Research Councils and Technology Strategy Board, but at a personal level, on the board of the Department of Business, Innovation and Skills, I am actually the equality and diversity champion, charged with promulgating equality diversity throughout BIS and all its partner organisations, which is a rather huge landscape. Just some sort of school statistics. A lot of the facts and figures I show are to do with pipelines. And Jocelyn started off with a particular snapshot of pipelines from undergrad through to professors. Starting here a little bit earlier, the top curves here for each of mathematics and a number of other subjects, chemistry, physics, are what's happened over the last few years in terms of people taking up English A levels, and the bottom ones are those who are getting at least a grade B, a B, an A, or an A plus. And there are, therefore, some rather flat lines, some slightly upward lines, but what has happened in England in the last few years is a dramatic uptake of mathematics at both A level mathematics and further mathematics. So these things are an important part of the story, because if you go back to that pipeline and you look at the pipeline in physics, which is the route through to the universities in physical sciences and most of engineering, that is a deeply problematic blockage in the pipeline, both in terms of gender and in terms of total numbers. In terms of universities, if we look across the board at STEM and we look at the number of degree entrants, left-hand axis, and the right-hand axis, the percentage of first-degree entrants who are actually studying STEM, then both of those trends, if we look at the overall picture for STEM, are quite encouraging. And then, of course, I'll come on in a minute to what's happening on the gender front. But that the thing from my point of view is we've got to go back, and there's a lot of work to do in securing that initial pipeline. And not only sort of studies of what happens in universities, but how are opinions formed right back at 12, 14, images of subjects, how people, and a lot more research to be done in that area. I think ESRC is funding some work at the Institute of Education, but this is quite difficult stuff to unravel. What are the formative influences? Are they parental? Are they teacher? Are they whatever? And more work to do at that end of the spectrum. More generally, in terms of trying to excite the young about what the nature of science, engineering, jobs that are out there, careers. Many of you will know about the Big Bang Fair, which we started a couple of years ago, and there are those here who know more about it than I, because they try and organize it. But if you put on these wonderful events, and if you get it right, there is inordinate interest out there, schools, teachers, and school children. In that wider space, running national science and engineering competitions, extraordinary projects that come up from young people. And another part of the general approach to trying to get people interested and trying to get across the messages, the STEMnet Ambassadors Scheme across the UK, a network of nearly 30 volunteers from both universities and from business who go into schools and act as kind of role models of what you can do, what you can achieve, and nearly 3,000 of those are here in Scotland. But another part of this, it's exciting the young, the problem in schools, is a wider issue about public engagement, and it's obligatory if you're a civil servant, as Peter knows, to show a picture of your minister at some stage during the year. And how does one try and do that? Well, another part of my remit, that my science and society unit, being involved in science festivals, and when I say science, that includes very much social science, doing that on a regional basis. We've done that in Edinburgh. And, of course, the British Science Festival, the biggie event, that's actually coming up in Scotland next year. But in addition to those set-piece events, something a bit more subtle, which is having public dialogues about emerging scientific areas. If you think of what happened with GM crops, which was a total communication disaster, how to get ahead of the game and actually have civilized dialogues about things like synthetic biology, which almost says Frankenstein biology, you know, it's nearly there, and wider things to do with lifestyles and well-being, getting across the messages of what we face over the next few decades in terms of energies and so on. And we try and evaluate all this with public surveys. And we've just started a new sort of survey on young people's attitude to science. And there's a very interesting thing in that first survey, which is young people think science is terrific, great majority. Very few of them think that scientific careers are a good idea. So we're trying to unpick this and get back down the line. So what kind of interventions would help? Now, on to the more specific gender trends, and a lot of this data will be English and Welsh data. For some bizarre reason, apart from French and political studies, and I have no sociological explanation of why those two figure, girls beat boys, and I'm sure many of you sort of know that. But once you get to the higher grades, very little differentiation at A level, but GCSE, girls do better. But it's not particularly kind of differentiated. When you go to STEM subjects, looking at A levels again in the English system, and you look at the cohort getting A stars, of course there's a differential entry pattern. You know, the many fewer girls entering to do physics, but of those who enter, the success rates are not sort of wildly different in any kind of sense. So it's back to, in a sense, Jocelyn's opening point that it starts off pretty equal somewhere along the route. However, when you come to break down that overall picture of STEM into different disciplines and different areas, you do see some quite dramatic differences there. So this is percentage entrance to UK, this is across the whole of the UK, I think, this data. UK higher education institutions look at the first year entry and look at the percentages who are female across a range of subjects. And what you see at the top there, engineering, technology, computer science in particular, I mean, very, very differentiated. Once you get into and maths and physical science is somewhat lagging, but once you get up into anything associated with the life sciences, whether it's plants or animals, the picture changes. And this, again, must go back to some subtle questions about where choice mechanisms enter in and what is it that the motivations and the understandings are that make these kind of differentiations. Because naively, one would think the amount of information that's out there, both for boys and girls, would be the same, but it's not having the same effect, or it's not being picked up, or whatever. But somewhere there's a big image problem here with engineering. So in addition to the studies that you're doing here in Royal Society of Edinburgh, a lot of other people, of course, tried to look at this across time, a few of them. But you could go back to sort of basics in a sense and say, well, what's important here? And again, just picking up on the photos, the young lady on my right, your right too, she was the young scientist of the year at last year's Big Bang, Hannah Eastwood. It was quite extraordinary in the actual prize winners in these things that there was incredible female representation. I fear to some extent a lot of it was independent school oriented. posh girls' schools doing very well. But why is it important from the point of view, say, of being hard-nosed? If you're the Department of Business, Innovation and Skills, why do you care about this, apart from the fact that it's right to care about it? There is actually a profound business case. I think Jocelyn's almost opening remarks. It's an incredible waste of talent, the training, the education, and then what happens. So retaining and using the very best talent, let alone why spend money training people if they're not going to, you know, contribute. So there's a hard-nosed business interest in this, in addition to the more sort of equality sociological. So one of the things we've been trying to do, I mean, one has to fasten somewhere, and it's brilliant that you're doing this in Edinburgh, because what we've tried to do across the UK more generally is look around and find, we've got to find some bodies who will take the lead in these things, which is why I think what you're doing is terrific. And we've tried through the Royal Academy of Engineering and the Royal Society. And in particular, and just let me focus on this one, because it's a case study that we just haven't cracked over the years, is the whole problem with engineering in terms of historical, just the diversity issues are difficult. So the Royal Academy of Engineering is the top focal point for engineering in the UK. There are many individual institutes of engineering, but the academy can, in a sense, represents the top of the pinnacle, the excellence. So we're trying to work with them to see what we can do. But the background data is awful. Across the whole of STEM or SET occupations, the women are about 12%, which is bad enough. But if you get into the engineering professions, it's down to about 7%. This, I think, makes us about the lowest of all the EU countries, echoing again Jocelyn's earlier slide. And unless you go into the more medical, biomedical, health-related fields, you get this underrepresentation across. And it's not just a gender thing in terms of black and minority ethnic groups, similar kinds of patterns. So we believe there to be a really serious problem here. Just let me throw into the works some wider stuff. Should we isolate, you know, STEM or STEM careers or universities, the wider society out there? And many of you will know Mervyn Davis's review, which is basically looking on women on boards of companies and women in director and high-level posts. Again, it's to do with role models, it's to do with perceptions, and the awfulness of the data, again, makes you want to go back and say, where's the trajectory here? So there is a lot going on in that space which is aimed at getting those percentages of representation of women at high levels in big companies up. And the current kind of patterns are like somewhat like the following. And I'm putting this on the table because I think one wants to see it in the widest possible context. All the things that Ellen talked about are not totally specific to STEM, and she talked a bit about BP and so on. But within the FTSE 100 companies, there's a little creep up of the number of directors and number of companies with females on board, but it's still pretty low. But if you look much more recently, just what's happened in the last 6 months or so, 7 months, the figures are increasing dramatically. So it does look as though you have something very high profile like the Davis Review, and you make a lot of noise and you name and shame that something happens. But is it true? And something similar in the FTSE top 250. And if you look again at the top 350, similar sorts of numbers. So there's a sense in which, from a departmental point, we're trying to look across the whole piece to monitor these kind of trends of involvement, because one would think there would be some generic underlying things that we need to tackle, not just within STEM or universities. Jocelyn threw out some suggestions earlier of what we might do more about. There is this public sector equality duty, which places responsibilities on public bodies. Could and should we do more specifically in a more targeted way in that space? In recent times, there has been a flurry of activity. There are some encouraging trends, but if you look at those baseline figures, for example, for engineering or women employed in engineering professions, it's dire. So there is still a hell of a lot more to do, and what you're doing here in the Royal Society is really welcome, but we haven't cracked it yet.